Hello and welcome for the broadcast today for Sunday the 6th of December for the children in the class Ignite, which is ages from reception to year 6. So before we start learning about parables, another parable, let's look at a little game that we're going to play, if you can guess what I'm thinking of. So I am thinking of something that you wear to keep warm, and that's for 5 points. If you can guess what it is at this point, you will get 5 points. There are various sizes of it, and that is the clue for 4 points. For 3 points, sometimes you wear it for decoration, not just to keep warm. For 2 points, you can have different types, which are knitted or cotton or leather, or it can be made of other materials. And for 1 point, this is something that you wear on your hands, or it can be with the fingers or without the fingers. So did you guess what that could be? If you guessed, I was thinking of gloves, then you are correct. Well done. So that was just for fun. And today we're going to be talking about the prodigal son. And this story is found in the book of Luke, chapter 15, from verse 11. So if you have your Bibles with you, you could look it up and read along with me. Luke chapter 15, from verse 11. And the Bible says, Jesus told them yet another story. Once a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Give me my share of the property." So the father divided his property between his two sons. Not long after that, the younger son packed up everything he owned and left for a foreign country, where he wasted all his money in wild living. He had spent everything when a bad famine spread throughout that whole land. Soon he had nothing to eat. He went to work for a man in that country, and the man sent him out to take care of his pigs. He would have been glad to eat what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him a thing. Finally, he came to his senses and said, "My father's workers have plenty to eat, and here I am starving to death. I will go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son. Treat me like one of your workers.'" The younger son got up and started back to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son and hugged and kissed him. The son said, "Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Hurry and bring the best clothes and put them on him. Give him a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Get the best calf and prepare it so we can eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead, but has now come back to life. He was lost and has now been found." And they began to celebrate. The older son had been out in the field, but when he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants over and asked, "What's going on here?" The servant answered, "Your brother has come home safe and sound, and your father ordered us to kill the best calf." The older brother got so angry that he would not go into the house. His father came out and begged him to go in. But he said to his father, "For years I have worked for you like a slave and have always obeyed you. But you have never even given me a little goat so that I could give a dinner for my friends. This son of yours wasted your money on prostitutes, and now that he has come home, you ordered the best calf to be killed for a feast." His father replied, "My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but he is now alive. He was lost and now has been found." Right, so quite a lot to learn from this parable, and it's the only one that we're going to be looking at today. This parable was told to explain how God is a father to people and how God wants to forgive people that have done things wrong. The Pharisees were always trying to trick Jesus into making a mistake and getting him to say something that was wrong. And they were trying to say that following the laws was all that you needed to do to get into heaven. And that if you didn't follow the laws, then you were the worst sinner and then you were not as good a person and that God would never take you back. And the Pharisees used to show themselves as if they were doing everything right and that everybody else, all the ordinary people, were the sinners, and they used to look down on the sinners. And Jesus tells this parable to answer why he came to earth to eat with sinners and to be with people that were considered to be outcasts and people that were considered to be not very important, and to say why he spent time with them. So in this story, we have quite a few characters. We've got the father, the son, and the older brother. And all of them are really, really important to understand why God loves sinners and how he treats us if we do something wrong. So in the story, we see that there is a younger son and he is not happy at home. We're not told about why he's not happy. Maybe he is not getting on well with his father. Or maybe he feels his father is comparing him to his older brother and that his older brother is doing things better than him. Or maybe he's got into an argument with his dad. Or maybe he feels he's having to work too hard. But whatever the reason, this son says something really horrible to the father. Even in our culture, it would be very difficult to understand this in the English culture. But in the Middle Eastern culture, when the story was told, the son insults his father by saying, "I want the money that I will get when you die." So the son is wishing that the father was dead. And that he can have all that thing. He doesn't want to wait for his father to die. He wants the money that he should get now. He's impatient, he is young, and he says something very, very hurtful to the father. And this is similar to us maybe wishing that God was not there, that we didn't know all these laws and we didn't know the right thing to do, and we can just do whatever we like. That we want to live the life we want to live. We don't want to worry about whether it's the right thing to do or not. And we want to break laws. And so we're almost wishing that God did not exist. That we could just do whatever we like. And the father here is very mature and very understanding. And he could have told the son off and explained to the son that he was insulting him, but he doesn't do that. He knows that one of the best ways for people to learn from their mistakes is to actually go through a bad experience. And it's not that the father knows things are going to be bad for the son, but the way the son behaves, it's almost inevitable. The son, bad things are going to happen to this young boy. He's not behaving in the right way. He doesn't respect his father. And for somebody like that, you know, things are not going to go well for him. So the father sells his property. He has to divide the money between his two sons, and the younger son wants his money now Now remember, in those days, there were not banks where he would have kept all his money. His money was in property, in the land that he owned, in the house that he had, in the cattle and any other animals that he had, and maybe even in some of the servants that he had. And that's how you would know if somebody was wealthy. So the father would have had to sell things to give the son the money that he was demanding. And can you imagine how other people would have reacted? They would not have necessarily understood what the father was doing. And they would not have understood why the father was not punishing this boy. But the father knew that if he punished his younger son, that would separate the father and the son even more. And whatever problems they had at this time, if the father had been harsh and difficult with the boy, it would have made their relationship even worse. And the father chooses to put himself through pain and shame just to give this boy what he wants. And what the father looks for all the time is a way to rescue the relationship and to bring it back to where they can relate well. So the son wants out, and once he gets his money, it is his responsibility to look after the household, to make sure people have got food, and to take on those responsibilities. But he doesn't do that. As soon as he can, he's out of there. He takes his money and he goes away to a foreign land. Now, he is not a very clever boy. He's not wise. He's not old enough to really know what to do. And suddenly he's got loads of money. So he goes out and he has parties and he makes all these new friends. But of course, his new friends just want him for the money and the things that he has. And then once all of that money is gone and he now cannot throw parties, cannot buy lots of food, all of those friends that were not good friends, that are artificial friends, they all disappear and they leave him. Because now that he hasn't got any way to make their lives easy, they don't want to know. They don't want to have anything to do with him. And he is left on his own with no money, no food. So he decides, well, at least what he can do is to work. And he has to go and work with pigs. And the man that he's working for doesn't give him any food. So he is so hungry, he thinks. And in the Jewish culture, working with pigs were one of the animals that was seen as unclean. It was a very, very bad job to be working with pigs. But he has no choice. Instead of being a son in his father's house, now he is being a slave for someone else. And the jobs that he is being given to do are terrible jobs. But he has no choice. And he is so hungry that he wants to eat some of the sloppy food that the pigs are eating. And then, thankfully, he comes to his senses and he realizes that he has one more option. He has an option to go back to his father and throw himself at his father's mercy and say, please help me. I just need food. But we can see here that the son prepares a speech of what he's going to say to his father. And the things that he says are not really saying, I am sorry, I did the wrong thing. Please take me back. And please help me out here. All he wants is food. He just wants to look after himself and what he needs. And so the speech he prepares to give to his dad is like, I will do this and you feed me. It's very similar to what Pharaoh said to Moses when the plagues of Egypt were coming against Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And at that time, Pharaoh was saying all sorts of things, and he was making all sorts of promises to Moses, because all he wanted to do was to stop the plagues. Once the plagues had stopped, then Pharaoh would go against his word, and he could not be trusted. And that just seems to be how this son feels. He doesn't feel sorry for what he has done. He doesn't realize the extent of what he put his father through. He just now is so hungry and is so desperate, and he just wants to get out of it what he can. He's not trying to build a good relationship with his dad. He's just trying to get food and get shelter. And even if he's a servant, he doesn't care about that. So he starts heading home. And I think at this stage, he would have felt fear, because he doesn't know what his father is going to be like. He's expecting his father to be angry, and maybe for his father to chuck him out, because all the things that he did were very, very disrespectful to his dad. But the Bible tells us that his father was looking out for him. His father was eager to see him. And his father should have wanted to cut him out of the family, or cut him out of the community forever. But he doesn't do that. He's out looking to see any signs of his son coming home. And when he sees his son at a great distance away from the house, he recognizes that that's my son coming home. And he does something that people of his age would not have been expected to do, because people that were over 40 would hold themselves very, very carefully, especially if they had money and they had property like this father did. They wouldn't be seen to be rushing or running around. They would have people that they would send to do difficult things for them. And the clothes that people wore in the Middle East at that time were big, long robes. So for the father to run to his son, he would have had to lift his robe up so that he could free his legs to run. So any man over 40 would not be expected to run. It was not dignified for him to do that. But he doesn't care. He is so overjoyed to see his son coming back that he lifts up his robes, he runs towards his son. And he's just eager, and is just really, really pleased. Even though before the son even says anything, he's hugging him and he's kissing him. And the son says, he says his speech. He said, "I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you. And I am not good enough to be called your son." Again, he doesn't apologize. He just seems to really want to say something just so that his father will give him what he needs. But his father is not listening to any of that. He shows no anger. He is only happy to see his son. He is happy to hold him and to hug him and to kiss him. And the father restores the son back into the family. He puts shoes on his feet, because sons wore shoes. Servants didn't wear shoes, but sons wore shoes. He asks for the best clothes to come and to be put on him. He asks for a ring to be put on his finger. Now, the ring would have been a power to show everybody that the son belonged to that family. In those days, they didn't use pens to sign. When you were doing business, you wouldn't use a pen to sign your money to pay for any transactions. You would use a ring, and then you would put some ink on the ring, and then use that as a sign of the family crest to show that this family is paying for this. And when the father asks for that ring, It is to give the son power to be able to stand on his own two feet and to go and spend money. And the father pours out his love for his son. He doesn't hold anything back. And then the son, his heart turns towards his father, and for the first time, we see the son repenting and accepting that his father loves him. And that is how much God loves us. God takes responsibility of looking for us, finding us, and restoring us back to himself. And that is something that we as Christians just need to accept. We need to accept God's love and to not try to earn it, not try to buy it, not try to whittle our way into getting God's love. God's love is unconditional. He just loves us. And we need to realize that our behavior, the things that we do, they affect God's plans. Just like this son's behavior when he left the house and he went off to spend his money and to waste his resources, all of that affects God's plans. And God wants us to come back to work the family business and to do the things that need to be done to grow the family that he has given us. In the story, Jesus is defending why he accepts sinners, because we see here the older brother in the story is not happy. And this is just like the Pharisees. So in the story, Jesus represents the father who accepts the younger son who has gone out and has been doing the wrong things, and Jesus accepts them back with no questions asked. And he gives them back the power to be in the kingdom of God and to be a member of God's family. And he doesn't ask for anything in return. Now, the older brother in this story is like the Pharisee, because the older brother was away. And when he comes back, he's not happy that the younger brother has come back and has been taken into the family so quickly with no questions asked. Right, now, if we go back to the beginning of the story where the father and the younger son were talking and the younger son was saying, "Give me all the money that I will get when you die," the older brother, if he was being a responsible, a good brother, should have stood between the father and the younger son to try and help them to build their relationship, to make sure that the younger son didn't do this silly thing and go off with all the money that he should have. But the older brother we see here doesn't do that. For some reason, he is very angry. And we don't know why he's angry at the beginning. Maybe this younger brother was a favorite son of the father. And maybe the father didn't hide it. Just like we saw with Joseph. In the story of Joseph, Abraham loves Joseph so much he gives him a bright, beautiful coat. And he doesn't give his other sons anything to help make them feel better. And then Joseph didn't help matters either. Anything that he had as a dream, he would come and he would say, "Well, my dream means that I'm going to be more important than you are. And I'm even more important than my father and my mother." And the older brothers didn't like this. They didn't like it at all. And that was the beginning of the trouble for Joseph. So maybe this younger brother was the same. Maybe this younger brother also used to sort of say that he was more important than anyone else. We don't know. Maybe he didn't work as hard as he should, leaving more work for his older brother. Or maybe the younger brother was just really, you know, impatient. And of course, when he asked his father for his share of the money, everything that was left belonged to the older brother. So when the younger brother comes back, and the father kills the best calf that they had been growing and making sure it was nice and fat. And the father says, let's take that and celebrate that my younger son has come back. That calf actually belonged to the older brother, because everything that the father now had was the older brother's inheritance, was what the older brother would get when the father died. So he is angry, and he is so angry that he will not go in to celebrate that his younger brother is back. When people had parties, just like if we have a party now, I would expect all my children to be there to greet the guests, make them feel important, make sure that the party is going well. So if one of them chooses to sulk and go to their room and not come down to greet the guests, that is very rude. And that is what happens in the story. The older brother will not go into the party. And we have to be careful why we do some of the things that we do. If we do them because we are angry or we have other negative feelings, it is really not good. We should be able to talk about these things to people to explain how we feel so that we can have good relationships. So this older brother doesn't go into the party, and now he shows a lot of disrespect for his father. His father now has to leave the guests, leave the party, to go and look for the older brother. And that is not good. That's not a good way for the main guest to, you know, to behave. So he goes and has to find his son and say, what is the matter? Why aren't you coming to celebrate that your younger brother is back? And we know that the older brother is not happy, because he says that, you know, you don't give me attention. I've been here working hard for you, doing all these things, and yet you've never given me any reward. You've never given me anything for me and my friends to go and celebrate. And his father says, but don't you realize that everything I have is yours? And that is true, as I said earlier, that everything that the father now had belonged to the older brother. And he says, but it's not time to worry about things like that. It's time to celebrate. It's time to rejoice, because your brother, it's like he was dead and now he's alive. It's like he was lost and now he has been found. And because of that, we should celebrate. We should not miss opportunities to celebrate with other people. We should take every chance to celebrate. Now, this is similar to the Pharisees that were very angry with Jesus, just like the older brother was angry with the father. And they were angry because Jesus accepted sinners. He accepted people that had done things wrong, and he just received them back into the fold. And we have to be careful not to judge other people when they have done something wrong. We have to leave that to God to do. So if somebody wanted to come to church, and even if we knew they had done something wrong, it is not our place to decide whether they should come to church or not. We should encourage them, and we should invite them, and we should welcome them into the church. And we should try and help them to be good Christians. So that is what we can learn about the parable of the prodigal son. Sometimes we are the people that have done something wrong, and we come back to God, and we should ask for his forgiveness. And God is ready and he's willing, and he really wants us back in the family. So he's looking out for us and trying to find different ways to let us know how much he loves us. Or sometimes we could be the older brother, and we have to be careful not to stop other people coming into the family of God. We should encourage them and we should be happy and we should be ready to rejoice. And Jesus doesn't really finish off the story. He leaves it like that because he wants people to think how they would finish off the story. Remember, he told us all of these parables and they had a hidden meaning and they had a secret message, and the people that would spend time thinking about it would get the message and would fully understand what it meant. So he wanted the Pharisees that were hearing the story to understand which character they represented and to change their ways. And in the same way, we should try to learn all we can from the parables that Jesus told while he was here on earth so that we can be better Christians. I hope you enjoyed looking at that. It's one of my favorite parables because it really explains so much about how much God loves us and he's willing to forgive us anything, even if we have been so rude to him in the past. So do take care. God bless you. I have to tell you about next week. Next week, the 13th of December, I will not be doing a recording on here, but we will be taking over the church service, and there will be the church service will be broadcast on Facebook, and I'm sure there will be something on this platform as well that will be put on this church website so that we can all watch it together with our friends and family and see the children's service that we would have done in church. But it'll all be very virtual. So you'll, hopefully lots of you have taken part and enjoy it. So to stay blessed and do take care. Bye.